So what is one to do if they agree with me that experiences are real and what I'm feeling right now is not just a convenient way of talking about the world? It's like, it's not just like useful. Like, this first person thing that I'm directly acquainted with at this moment is more real than just a way of talking about the world, like a couch or a microphone or something. You agree with me about that, but you also agree with Sean Carroll that, like, these laws of physics, these mathematical, nomological ways of talking about the world are accurate. Well, long story short, Russellian monism is how you square those things. You can accept everything Sean Carroll says about the laws of physics and think that they are, you know, just completely correct without having to, lie to yourself and say that your experiences are just a convenient way of talking about the world, and that the, you know, causal efficacy of your experiences is not some kind of illusion. Now, here's where the physicalist point comes in, because they would just want to identify the physical thing and the experiential thing, and then therefore they don't have to deny mental causation. So right, they're not the first type of epiphenomenalist, but I think that someone like Sean Carroll, I don't want to speak for all physicalists, but someone like Sean Carroll, who says that your first-person experience that you're directly acquainted with right now, that that's just a convenient way of talking about the world, I think that's epiphenomenalism of a kind. It is distinct from the property dualistic kind that I outlined earlier, but it's still sort of in the spirit of epiphenomenalism, because it's like, this is not the real story about what's happening. You know, what's really happening has to do with what physics is telling us about, you know? And this came up during his conversation with Philip Goff and Keith Frankish, where the cycle was basically something like, do you think consciousness plays some kind of role in physical reality? Goff would say yes. And then Sean Carroll would say, then you think the laws of physics are wrong. And then Philip Goff would say no. And then Sean Carroll would be like, well, look, then consciousness doesn't do anything. And then Goff would say, no, consciousness does everything. And he's like, well, then you must think the laws of physics are wrong. And then they would just go around that cycle over and over again, where Carroll's insisting, if you think consciousness does something, then you think the laws of physics are wrong. Okay, so look, I'm not strawmanning Sean Carroll. He thinks that if consciousness really does something, then the laws of physics would be wrong. And then Goff is trying to say, no, consciousness is what breathes fire into the equations. Like, physics provides us with these abstract models, these abstract, you know, nomological, mathematical descriptions of concrete reality. But it doesn't tell us what that concrete reality is. So physics, according to Goff, is going to work with or without panpsychism. The point is just, we have to answer independently of physical inquiry, what is this stuff that we're describing? And you could say that this is not consciousness, we're describing some kind of flux of non-conscious stuff, or you can say we're describing some kind of flux of conscious stuff. It makes no difference to physics. Anyway, you can have your cake and eat it too. You can believe in the reality and the sort of ontological weight of your experiences and the reality of your mental causal powers, I guess. And you can believe that physics is a perfect description of reality if you are inclined to believe that. If you're inclined to agree with Sean Carroll that, like, the core theory is basically a perfect description of our everyday lives. You know, it's not like the final theory of the physical world, but for our everyday lives, it's, you know, perfect. You can believe both of those things, but the only way that I know of to actually reconcile them is just Russellian monism.